All the time. Well, good morning and happy new year. Welcome to 2026. First time that we get to meet together as a church family in a new year. I was thinking about this morning and trying to decide, do I share a new year's message or do I continue on in our journey through the Bible? Where should I go? And the Lord took me to a verse in Psalms, Psalm 37. You're welcome to turn there a while. Psalm 37 and verse 23. As I was thinking about the new year, and this is a new year message, by the way. So I was thinking about the new year, and you know, you begin a new year and you think about, well, all right, you can reflect back on the past. That's one thing. But I was thinking about the future. So what does 2026 hold? Who knows what it's going to hold? Well, none of us do. We don't know what 2026 is going to bring into our lives. You know, what's going to happen to me personally? What about our families? What about us as Word of Life? What does 2026 look like for us? What does God have in store? You know, we make plans. You maybe have some plans for 2026, and you anticipate that you can accomplish those plans, but you know, we really don't know. There's a lot of unknowns. As you look at a new year, you know, we don't know. We don't know what the future holds. Do you ever worry about the future? Worry about what's coming, what's going to happen? What does life hold for me? I heard it said that there's two things in life that you have to worry about. That's whether you stay healthy or you get sick. If you get healthy, if you stay healthy, you have nothing to worry about. If you get sick, you have two things to worry about. Am I going to get better or am I going to get worse? If you get better, you have nothing to worry about. If you get worse, you have two things to worry about. Am I going to live or am I going to die? If you live, you have nothing to worry about. If you die, you have two things to worry about. Am I going to go to heaven or am I going to go to hell? If you go to heaven, you have nothing to worry about. If you go to hell, well, you do have something to worry about. What must I do to be saved? That's what we should be worrying about. But this morning, I'm convinced that I am talking to a group of people that really has nothing to worry about. As Christians, our ultimate goal is heaven. And so we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about what the future holds. Now, if you are here this morning and you are not born again, you haven't accepted the Lord, yes, then there is some things you have to worry about. But this morning, as we look at 2026, and we look at the unknowns, My text verse this morning, Psalm 37 and verse 23, it says this, a simple little verse here. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. This morning, the title of my message is The Steps of a Good Man. As we think about what this verse is saying here, it begins by talking about the steps. The steps has the idea of our goings or our path, our way, our course of life, our journey, if you will. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, it says, man's goings, it's the same word, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his way? A man's goings, our path. God is God is ordering our steps. The steps of a good man. The idea here, the good man, the word good, if you see in your Bible, it's probably italicized. The word good is a word that was added in just for reading purposes to make it make better sense, I guess. The word man has the idea of a man or a person. Also carried in the idea of a strong man or a warrior, as you go back and look at the original Hebrew word. But I believe what it's calling here is more of a person. I don't believe this verse is gender specific. I think it's talking about man or woman. And so the steps of a, or the goings, the course of life of a person, it says, is ordered by the Lord. The word, that phrase there, the idea of being ordered is to be firm, to be stable, to be established, directed would be another word that could be used there. And so God directs, He orders our steps, He directs our steps. Proverbs 16 and verse 9, it says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. This morning, I want to think about your steps, your journey, your path, your course of life, and how God orders that. How is God going to order your steps in 2026? What does that look like as we face this new year? There's 7 points that I want to consider this morning as we think about the steps of a good man or ordered by the Lord. The first thing that I want to think about is the fact that as God orders our steps, I believe God orders them. God has a plan. God is not some random God that orders our steps just randomly, or he doesn't just wing it as we do sometimes. He's not off the cuff. God is a God who has a plan. God has a plan for your life and a plan for my life. As He is ordering our steps, it's according to His plan. God's message to His people through Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, and I'm going to be quoting a lot of scripture this morning. We don't need to turn to all of them. Maybe a few times here I'll ask us to do that. But Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you." Let me just stop there. The idea here of thoughts, some translations would put plans there. And word it something like that God knows the plans that He has for you. And then He continues on. He says, "I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." I believe that God is an organizer. God is a planner. And God knows the plan that He has for you in 2026 and beyond. God has a plan for every one of us, no exception. Now, there is a good chance, a very good chance, that God's plans are probably a little different than your plans. I'm supposing, again, that you probably have some plans for this upcoming year. God's plans could be different than that. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, I'd like to suggest this morning that God has a bigger and better plan for you than what you have for yourself. God doesn't see things the way we see things. God is far greater. God is far greater than that. And so God's plan probably differs from your plan. But God's plan, no matter what it is for your ultimate good. God's plan has your best interest in mind. Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose." You know, sometimes we look at life and when bad things happen and we wonder why and how. And God's plan sometimes does bring things that are difficult. God's plan sometimes brings hard things into our lives. But God says it's for our good. It's for our good. Anything that God has in His plan is for our good. I think it might be the front one. So God has a plan. God's plan is greater than our plans. God's plan is for our ultimate good. And God's plan will not cease. Thank you, Grant. That was the one. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident in this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." God's plan will go forward. God will continue to work in your life, and it will not cease until He is done with you here on this earth. So God will order your steps according to His plans here in this new year. God has a plan for your life. My second point this morning, as God orders your steps, it includes His leading. So God doesn't just have this plan for you and says, "Here it is, you know, go do it." But I believe that God leads us each step of the way as He orders our steps. Now, God, we know that He is not physically here like a shepherd. We're often referred to sheep in the Bible. And you can turn with me. You're in Psalms. If you want to flip to Psalm 23, I believe that God leads like a shepherd leads. Now, not in that physical way. He's not there. We're not walking right behind Him. But God does lead. And the psalmist here, David, in Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." So this is David's testimony here. He's saying that God leads me. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me to those places of peace. God just doesn't put us here on our own, but He leads us. He leads us in the paths of righteousness, the right way. God, as our Father, He leads us. He leads us. And I'd like to suggest that God is still in the business today of leading. And His desire is to lead you. As He orders your steps, He wants to lead you in 2026. Again, the psalmist David in chapter 25, verses 4 and 5. This is basically David's prayer, and I trust that it could be our prayer as well. David says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Is this your heartbeat? As David says, "Show me the way. Lord, show me. And he goes on and he says, teach me. He says, lead me. He is inviting God to lead him. And again, he says, he repeats, teach me. Is that your heartbeat? As you look at the future, as you look at what is ahead in this year, can you ask, can you say, God, lead me? Lead me. Psalm 32. Again, if you want to flip there, Psalm 32, again, a psalm of David, verses 8 and 9. As we think about God leading, he says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. As God leads us, he says he will guide us with his eyes. Then he goes on and he says, in verse 9, he says, be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouths must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come unto thee. God wants to lead us. He wants to guide us with his eyes, and he says, don't be like that horse. The horse that, or the mule that doesn't understand, that does things their own way. They want to go their own path. They need to be held in place by bit and bridle. Don't be like that. Allow God to lead you. He says, I will guide you with mine eyes. Isaiah tells us how he leads. He describes how God leads. He says, I will, this is in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16. He says, I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. Let me just stop there. Think about God leading. He says, I will bring the blind. I will lead the blind in a way that they know not. You know, we're a little bit like that blind. We don't know what's in the future. We don't know what 2026 will hold. We're blinded to that. We can't see that. Maybe we can forecast things and we have ideas, but we really don't know. And so, again, Isaiah, he's telling giving the children of Israel God's message. He says, I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. Again, we are thinking about God's leading. God says, I will lead you. I will lead them in paths that they don't know. That is us today. And I believe we can claim these verses here as well. It is not just for the children of Israel. But God desires to lead us in those paths that we don't know. He continues on. He says, I will make darkness light unto them. You know, sometimes the way is dark. It's not clear. We can't see. He says, I will make it. I will make it light for you. I will make darkness light before them. And he says, and crooked things straight. He will make crooked things straight. He says, these things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Friend, God, as he orders your steps, he will also lead you. He will lead you like he talks of leading the blind here. John tells us the method that he uses to lead us. John 16, 13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatsoever he heareth, he will speak. He will declare unto you the things that are to come. God today uses his Holy Spirit. Yes, God is not physically here on earth and we can follow him, but he has sent his Spirit. He guides us with his Holy Spirit. So friends, this morning, God has a plan for you and God wants to lead you. Will you let him? Will you let him lead you? God has a plan and God leads. My third point this morning maybe kind of goes along on the same idea of God leading, but it's as God orders steps, He doesn't leave you on your own, but He goes with you. His presence is with you. He is there. And again, it's through the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That is a promise that we can take to the bank. God will always be with us, no matter what those steps that He orders for us, no matter where it goes, no matter what happens in our lives, He is always there with us. We can face the future in confidence because we know that God is with us. The psalmist declares in Psalm 139, it's David, the psalmist declares here that we can't get away from God. There's nowhere that we can go to get away from God. He is always there. Psalm 139, verse 7 says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the light shall be light about me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness as the light are both alike to thee." Friends, God is with us. As He orders our steps, He is right there with us. We cannot get away from His presence. He is always there. God tells His people, again, through the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24, it says, "I am a God at hand." God is a God that is at hand. He is right there. He is right here this morning. He is a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off. God is not just some big God up there in heaven far away. God is a God who is at hand. His presence is with us. Then he goes on, he says, "Can any hide himself in a secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord." God is so big, His presence is everywhere. He fills the earth. That is our God who is directing our steps. Who is directing our steps here in the future, in the unknowns. He is there with us. He is here with us. God made a promise to Jacob, and again, I think we can claim this promise as well. God says to Jacob in Genesis 28, 15, He says, "Behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." God promises Jacob, He says, "I'm with you. I am with you. I will be with you. No matter where you go, I will be with you." Again, the promise to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31 says, "And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Again, I believe that we can claim those promises as well. God's presence is with us. As He orders our steps, He is there with us. This morning, I claim that promise that God orders my steps and that He will be with me each step of the way. So God has a plan. God has a plan for each of us. God is leading us. God's presence is with us. My fourth point as God orders your steps. He will give you the strength. He will give you the strength to go where He orders and do what He orders. He will give you the strength to do it. I don't know about you, but there's some times that I get weary. When I become tired and I don't have the strength to go on, I feel maybe overwhelmed. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. It talks here about those who become weary. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28, it says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God," that's the one who is ordering our steps, "the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary." Friends, this morning, our God who is ordering our steps does not get tired. God does not become weary. He doesn't faint. He is not like you and I. He is faithful. He fainteth not, neither is weary. It goes on, it says, "There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint." He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. As God orders our steps and we become weary and we begin to faint, He is there to strengthen us. He is there to give us the power that we need. He giveth power to the faint. He increases our strength. Verse 30 says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." Young men here this morning, you might feel like you have a lot of strength and energy, and you do compared to us old guys. But even you will get tired and weary. God says you will. "Even the young men shall utterly fall," He says. But then verse 31 begins with a but. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Wow. That's what our God will do for us. God will strengthen us. He will strengthen us in each step that we take. Each step that He orders, He strengthens us to take those steps, to go where He wants us to go, to do what He wants us to do. We'll mount up with wings as eagles. We'll run, not be weary. We won't faint. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Friends, we can face the future. We can face the unknowns. God is going to give us the strength to do it. The Apostle Paul, we know Paul had what he called a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what that was. We have lots of ideas of what it was, and it doesn't really matter. But I believe that Paul was at that place where he was weary, maybe. Maybe he was fainting is the term that's used there in Isaiah. He was feeling incapable, unable, maybe handicapped. I'm not sure what all the feelings that Paul was had through all of that. But this is what God told him. This is what God's message was to him. God says, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Friends, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we feel like we can't do it, that's when God will shine through in our lives. That's when God gives us the strength. His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's in Christ that we can face the future, that we will be strengthened. Psalm 18, verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock, it's my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He's my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. There the psalmist is simply declaring that God is where it's at. He is our strength to face the steps ahead. And so this morning, as God orders our steps, He is our strength. We can trust Him for strength to face tomorrow. God has a plan for each of our lives. God leads us in that plan. God's presence is always with us as He orders our steps. And God strengthens us to accomplish those things that He has for us. Fifthly, my next couple points are just short ones, but I see that as God orders your steps, He also protects you as you walk in them. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. He will keep you from evil. I believe that God puts a hedge of protection around us. He protects us. He keeps us. He keeps us. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, this I believe is David here. And this is what David has to say in verses 2 and 3. He says, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield. He is the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. David recognized that it is God who protects him. God puts that shield. God was his shield. He was his protector. A place of refuge, a safe place. Protection. And he said, He saves me from violence. Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8, it says, and the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Again, preserve, protect. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. I believe there is both a physical protection and a spiritual protection that God gives. It says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Again, as God orders our steps, God protects. My sixth point, as God orders our steps, I believe God also heals. And when I say God heals, I believe God heals spiritually. I believe God heals physically. Psalm 147, verse 3, it says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. God is the great physician, and God brings healing. He heals the broken in heart. He binds up their wounds. In Luke 4, verse 18, this is Jesus. I believe this is when Jesus was in the temple and he began reading from the scripture from Isaiah. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus' ministry, His coming to this earth, was to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. And we know Jesus does that. He heals those who are spiritually broken. he also healed physically as well. And so as God orders our steps, God brings healing. God heals. So God has a plan. God leads us. God's presence is always with us. He gives us strength. He protects us. He heals us. And lastly, this morning, as God orders your steps, God is faithful in doing that. God is faithful in ordering your steps. Psalm 119, verse 90, it says, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." God's faithfulness is to all generations. That is you and I this morning. God is faithful. God is faithful. He says, just like He has established the earth and it abideth. You know, the faithfulness of God is what brings the sun up every morning. Now, we maybe don't see the sun every morning, but He has established the earth. God created the earth, and He created the sun to rise every morning, and God is faithful. It rises every morning. It sets every evening. And just as faithful as that happens, that is our faithful God. And His faithfulness is to all generations. Friends, this morning I declare that God is faithful in ordering your steps. God is faithful in His plan that He has for you. God is faithful in leading you. God is faithfully by your side each step of the way. His presence is there. God is faithful at giving you the strength that you need. God is faithful to protect you. God is faithful to bring healing to you. This morning, God is faithful. God is faithful. The Bible tells us that His mercies are faithful. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." God's faithfulness is great every morning. God is faithful with a new set of mercies and compassion to take us through another day. Every morning, it says, His mercies are new every morning. His compassions, they don't fail. That's our faithful God. Our faithful God. Great is His faithfulness. He's not just faithful. His faithfulness is great. It's great. God is faithful in His promises that He gives to us. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." Friends, this morning, God is faithful. He keepeth covenant. He is faithful to His promises. All of the promises that we looked at this morning through Scripture, God is faithful to them. He is faithful to them. Our God is a faithful God. His faithfulness is to 1,000 generations, it says. Not only is God faithful in His mercies and God's faithful in His promises, the Bible also tells us that God is faithful in forgiving us. First John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, when we fail, and we will, in 2026, there will be times in our lives when we will fail. And we will need to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And God says, I'm faithful. I am faithful in forgiving you. When you come to me, I will forgive you. I will be faithful in forgiving. He is faithful and just to forgive us. The Bible also tells us that God is faithful in times when we face temptation. Another favorite verse of mine, 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. I love it. There's temptations. Temptations are going to come. In this next year ahead of us, we will face temptations. But God is faithful. God is faithful. It says, who will not suffer you be to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. When those temptations come, God, our faithful God, will provide an escape route. There's an emergency exit that God has for us. There's the escape ladder on the side of the high rise. There's a place where you can get out. God is faithful. Friends, we serve a faithful God. This morning, your steps in 2026, your steps in this year ahead and beyond, Lord willing, are ordered by the Lord. God orders each step that you and I are going to take. And as He does that, He does it according to His plan. He leads us in that journey in that way. He is there with us. His presence is with us. He gives us the strength to do it. He protects us. He heals us. And He is faithful. This morning, I declare to each of us that we can face 26. We can face this new year in confidence because God is ordering our steps, and He is faithful. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for being a faithful God. Lord, I thank You so much that You are the one in charge. You are the one that is ordering our steps. Father, there is nothing in the future that You are unaware of, that You don't know about. And God, this morning, I pray that each one of us here, that we would be able to just simply put our trust in You. God, You know the path that's ahead. And Father, we follow You. As the sheep follow the shepherd. God, I thank You for Your promises that You give to us that we looked at here this morning. The promises of Your leading, the promises of Your presence with us, the promises of strengthening us when we become weary, the promise of Your protection, Your healing. And Father, just the fact that You are faithful. God, I pray that You will help us as we go from here. Father, help us to be faithful to You, to be obedient, to follow as You lead us. God, I commit each one of my brothers and sisters here to You, that You would again, that You would order our steps and we would walk therein. God, help us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.